This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a busy Tuesday night alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. 48 hours from now, we will be about 30 minutes away from kickoff. 48 hours and 30 minutes away, I guess, would be a better way to define it, Matt Humans. But we are getting closer to the semifinals of the college football playoff. Wild card weekend is near, and some massive news in the coaching front. Yesterday was a lot of expectations. Okay, Pete Carroll's been fired. Kevin Stefanski's been fired. But John Harbaugh, a Super Bowl-winning head coach, the Baltimore Ravens, making a coaching change for the first time in 18 years, Matt Humans, as they will be looking for a coach. And I imagine John Harbaugh, if he wants a job, will be hired very soon at one of the six other spots that currently have vacancy.
Yeah, just because there are so few really good coaches in the NFL. I think you said a Super Bowl winning coach. He won that Super Bowl probably before your kid was born.
That is correct.
Okay. It was a long time ago. And look, he's been there 18 years and has won six division titles. That's not exactly an awesome accomplishment. And I think that Harbaugh, you could say, maybe has lost his fastball a little bit the last couple of years. And that coincides with Lamar Jackson not being healthy, not being as productive. And the defense declining as well. Mike McDonald was a great defensive coordinator in Baltimore. He left. Tim, who's the number one seed in the NFC right now?
Seattle Seahawks.
You know, coordinators matter. And the Ravens have declined defensively since they lost Mike McDonald. There are a lot of factors that play into it. That said, Harbaugh, if you're going to rank the coaches in the NFL, he's still definitely in the top 10. At one point, he would have been in my top three. He's not my top three now. But in this hiring cycle, I think he's going to be right now the most sought-after guy. Giants certainly want him. I think that's probably the most likely fit.
Well, I think the Jets should
fire Aaron Glenn and try to hire Harbaugh, but they're not smart enough to do it.
Well, I mean, I think there are a bunch of franchises that you could say should fire their coach and
Dolphins
kick the tires on John Harbaugh. I think just down the road, I think Washington should look at firing Dan Quinn and hiring John Harbaugh. Yeah. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury was the problem in Washington, but they have parted ways with both coordinators. So John Harbaugh is out. What does that mean for the Ravens? What does that mean for the landscape of the NFL? We got some really good guests, Matt, from the NFL standpoint. Nate Tice, who we played a clip of him yesterday as he joined us prior to the start of the season, said, really like the Seattle Seahawks and their chances to win that division. They end up being the number one seed. We'll go behind the counter with Jeff Sherman. Glenn Clark from Baltimore will give us his take. And my feel is, I think a lot of Ravens fans kind of share the same sentiment that you kind of threw out there, which was maybe it ran its course in Baltimore with John Harbaugh. Maybe this was a Andy Reid in Philadelphia situation where Harbaugh is going to get another opportunity, and maybe they needed a fresh start there in the Charm City. Bruce Marshall, he will break some college football down with us, and then David Behrman, his weekly visit in the final hour of the program. So a busy night and already underway, Matt. We have some pretty good college basketball games tonight, including 6th-ranked Duke against number 20 Louisville. If this game started a little bit later, probably would have been our game of the night as the Louisville Cardinals taking on Duke here. And in this particular spot, the Duke Blue Devils going off as a very slight favorite at a couple of shops here at Circa, actually went off pick 'em in this one.
Yeah, Mykel Brown, the star freshman for Louisville, out tonight. Tim, what do you think the number would have been if Brown were playing tonight? I would say that Louisville goes off as a favorite of pretty much every book, if that's the case, if Brown plays.
Yeah, Mykel Brown, by the way, hasn't played since the middle of December against Memphis. You and I both had Tennessee in a spot in the middle of December. We liked that spot for the Vols, and we actually got positive injury news as we found out that day that Mykel Brown would be out. He's dealing with a lower back injury, and I would imagine Brown makes his return to the lineup probably next Tuesday against Virginia. He's pretty close to returning back, and I think Pat Kelsey's being a little bit extra cautious with his stud freshman who's averaging about 16 points per game.
16 points and 5 assists per game, so an important guy to be out there. But I still considered betting Louisville in this game. I did not do it. Duke really struggled in the game at Florida State over the weekend. Sorry, Tim, I was thrown off there for a second. I can't believe the Michigan Wolverines are trailing.
Well, let's
what the hell is going on
take
here?
Take a screenshot of it. We've got the upset of the century brewing. 9-4, Penn State is beating Michigan, Matt Eubanks.
I thought Michigan was going to beat every team by 30. Might still. But they're down 9-4.
Time to live bet Michigan.
You might want to live bet Michigan. You might want to live bet Michigan right now.
Michigan
the
went
algorithm
off.
Shows here. Michigan went off, what, a 24-point favorite. That actually got steamed up. I saw 22.5 at some spots this afternoon. So 24.5 got steamed up there a little bit today. No surprise. The public wants to bet on Michigan. This team's covering every time.
Hard not to, Matt.
I almost bet Louisville against Duke. Blue Devils really struggled at Florida State. That's a bad Florida State team. But the Cardinals, I watched them on the road last week, Tim, and that road trip through Stanford and Cal, and not impressed at all with the way they were playing. I wouldn't be surprised
if they lost to Stanford.
I know, and that's a bad Stanford team too. But, you know, weird things happen on the road in college basketball. I did really consider the Cardinals tonight. I'd end up not pulling the trigger. We'll see how this turns out. But I think this Duke team's a little bit overrated, Tim. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, they are a very young team led by their superstar in Boozer, in Cameron Boozer. So I think this team has certainly the upside to make a deep run in March, but they don't have the – well, I guess I was going to say they don't have their Cooper Flag. Now, Cooper Flag may be generational, but Cameron Boozer is a first-team All-American right now.
Well, right now he is. I just wonder if the supporting cast around him is strong enough. You got a lot of young players on this Duke team again. And the more I watched, I was really disappointed in the way Duke played at Florida State. I didn't bet the game, but I thought, man, you cannot play down to the level of the opponent like this when you go on the road. So, and that's why I considered playing the Cardinals tonight. If Duke's going to play like that on the road, then Duke might be a bet against on the road. But I think the betting market was pretty smart to that tonight because I actually see Pick'em here at Circa. BetMGM closed Louisville -1.5. So I think the betting market has given Louisville plenty of respect here and kind of sniffing out that this Duke team might not be all it's cracked up to be.
Right now, 9-4 just underway there in Louisville, Kentucky. And going back to Saturday, there were 11 ranked teams on the road on Saturday, Duke being one of them against unranked conference foes, and Duke as a 16.5-point favorite, only won by 4 over Florida State. So a pretty easy rocking chair if you took the points of Florida State over the weekend. As mentioned, we joked about it, but Penn State, they went off as a 24-point underdog against Michigan, who is fresh off of a 30-point dismantling of USC on Friday night, Matt. And right now, at the first media timeout, the Penn State Nittany Lions up 10-6 right now. I'm curious how much the live number has moved from where it ultimately closed, as right now, Michigan down to a 17.5-point favorite.
I think that's worth a look. That's a bargain price. You got a long way to go in a game like this. Now, Penn State did hang in with Illinois over the weekend. You and I talked a little bit about that game on your Saturday morning show. That was a big number for the Illini to cover, and they did not cover it. So Penn State hung tough in that game. It's a well-coached Penn State team, too. And I would think
that
if
you've coached against me, then you've got to be elite. Mike Rhodes, of course.
Mike Rhodes is good, man. He is good. He doesn't have a lot of talent to work with. Definitely had a talent deficit against a team like Michigan, especially on the front line, but I think there's a chance Nittany Lions could hang in. You could also look at it and say, hey, this game just went off at 24 5 minutes ago, and now you can lay 17? That's a discount price, so there's a couple ways to look at that. I don't want to bet against Michigan, I'll say that. That team's capable of going on a 25-2 run at about any point in the game.
I'm just going to put a little marker here. At 4:09 our time, First media timeout, Penn State down to a 17.5 point underdog. Let's see how it ultimately plays out. So we got a bunch of games going on we'll keep an eye on, and we have some big ones still to come. Feels like we're getting back into the thick of it. Conference play is happening all across the country, and a big one in the Big 12, and let's get to that right now.
The lights are on, and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Matt, Texas Tech finding themselves in a underdog role heading to Houston to take on Kelvin Sampson and company. Speaking of Texas Tech and Duke, they had a win over the Blue Devils right before Christmas, 82-81 at Madison Square Garden. They're led by a pair of studs in JT Toppin and Christian Anderson. You could argue both of them are All-Americans, but this Houston team, as always, is going to be elite defensively, Matt. And at Houston right now, their lone loss coming in Vegas against Tennessee when they lost 76-73 right before Thanksgiving. They won over the weekend on the road at Cincinnati. What do you make of this spot where Houston is up to an 8-point favorite, actually 7.5 here at Circa?
Well, I actually like Houston a little bit in the game. It's up to 8.
I think it's seven
right now.
I'll double check here.
The screen is showing me 7. So I played this afternoon, Tim, but I played a 2-team money line parlay on Houston and Iowa. And that Iowa game is going to kick, tip off at 5 p.m. Pacific, Houston game at 6 p.m. Pacific. You know how much I like Ben McCollum, the Iowa coach, former Drake coach.
And it's Sturts, too, also stud.
Bennett Sturts is outstanding, one of the best point guards in college basketball. Iowa on the road at Minnesota.
It is up to 8, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, right on my app, Circa, up to 8.
That was 6 not long ago. But like I said, Houston-Iowa money line parlay for me.
Houston getting steamed up. We'll talk more about this game as the show goes on, but we got to hit a break when we come back. Nate Tice, he will break down Wild Card Weekend, and what does he make of John Harbaugh being out at Baltimore?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Louisville and Duke, a good one to start. 5 minutes in, Louisville with a 14-12 lead. Will the Penn State lead last for longer than 10 minutes into the contest? They lead 12-8. 24.5-point underdogs, the Nittany Lions against the unbeatable Michigan Wolverines. All right, let's talk some NFL, Matt. Nate Tice, we played his clip yesterday. He joined us preseason, said something about this Seattle team. I like them. Feel like it's a good bet. And they ultimately get the number one seed in the NFC. And I'm going to carry that into the most recent news, Nate, of the NFL, which is John Harbaugh out in Baltimore. And his defensive coordinator, as Matt pointed out, not there anymore. Gone for a couple of years. What did you make of the decision and the news we heard just a little while ago of Baltimore parting ways with John Harbaugh?
It's one of those where, first off, he becomes the hottest candidate. I've thought Kevin Stefanski, who has 2 Coach of the Year awards, would be the hottest candidate in this cycle, which speaks kind of to the cycle and the lack of big names or lack of intriguing candidates. There's no Ben Johnson, I would say, this year, but also that these interesting retreads, I guess you could call Harbaugh, is that, you know, there's a reason he won so many games with and without Lamar Jackson, before Lamar Jackson, and also is just looked at already as an interesting coach and probably moves to the top of the ladder. But also, it's not wrong that the Ravens maybe wanted to make a change. It's been a long time, and sometimes you just need that to rejuvenate the entire franchise and organization. But there's also the side of be careful what you wish for. sometimes you do that with quarterbacks. Sometimes you do that with head coach. Sometimes you do an offensive line coach, whatever position it might be. But sometimes there's that, you know, caveat to making these types of decisions. But it's one of those where I can understand it, even if I do think it's a little scary, especially with what's out there as far as coaching candidates.
about the quarterback? Do you think it's time for the Ravens to move on from Lamar Jackson if they can? I mean, it seems like those two have been tied.
No, okay. I think that's the selling point to you know, any coach that you want to bring in, because again, there's not a lot of there's a lot of coaching or seats available for the quarterbacks too this offseason. I think if you look at this draft class, it's really a one quarterback class, depending what happens with Dante Moore. But really, it's Fernando Mendoza, maybe Dante Moore, and really that's it that you're looking at in the first round. If you look at in free agency, it's Daniel Jones with an Achilles. Are you trading for Mac Jones? There's not a lot of appealing options. Malik Willis, you know, is a dart throw, but I'd much rather have the guy that's finished first, second in MVP voting. And that did play well in the first month of the season when that was the only really time that he was healthy. And I understand that the injuries are racking up with Lamar Jackson, but even an 80% Lamar Jackson for the next three-ish years, four-ish years, whatever you want to say, is much better than, again, what is else out there. I did think the coaching change is more understandable than anything with the quarterback change, but I do think that would be even more drastic to move on from Lamar Jackson and what he brings to the table, and also just the appeal of who you want to bring in as a head coach.
It's interesting because I think Lamar counts around $74 million against the team's cap next season, and that complicates issues there a little bit. Nate, how about your quarterback evaluation of Fernando Mendoza? No doubt number one pick or not?
Yeah, or at least first quarterback, but I do think that the Raiders should just stand pat, be calling Harbaugh, because that would just bring some again. I know they just fell into the one-and-done year with Pete Carroll and going for a CEO type of coach, but I do think Harbaugh is a good answer for them, especially looking at other candidacies and Stefanski. And if, you know, there is some Tom Brady, Brian Flores connections and all that as well. But if you're going back to your Mendoza question, yeah, I do think he is the definitive QB1, even if Moore were to declare. I do think he's a high-floor quarterback. There are questions about his upside, but I do think that there is some Matt Ryan comparisons to him if you want to be a super optimistic guy about him. Jared Goff maybe is a nice kind of middle line comparison for him. But I do think this is a clean operator, really good on third downs, really good in 2 minute, really good in the red zone. A smart guy. You see that in some of the interviews. No one's going to care how he is. I think it's better to be more prepared than maybe aloof at the quarterback position, but very accurate. I would say his arm is good, solid to good, as opposed to maybe overwhelming. He's a fine athlete, but he doesn't win as a creator. He wins just being pristine from the pocket, and he has the arm and the accuracy to do that. I do think he could be a nice, good, solid starting quarterback, and for probably the Raiders or even the Jets at two, like that's kind of what those organizations need, especially for a long-term solution.
Nate Tice joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Follow him on Twitter at @Nate_Tice. Read all of his content. Also, check out his podcast as well, part of the Yahoo Sports family. All right, Nate, you grew up. Your dad was the head coach of the Vikings, was on that staff for a long time. So let's start in that division. You got a great rivalry game. Third time these two teams have faced each other. Packers and Bears Saturday night in Chicago. Right now, the Packers find themselves as a very slight favorite. What do you make of Saturday night's showdown in Chicago?
Yeah, we've had some line movement, I think, on that too, right? It's two defenses that are very pickable. That's where to start. I do think that even with weather, that we do see some explosive plays on both sides of the ball. The Packers defense, I know the Micah Parsons injury is, of course, going to grab headlines, but there has been some leakiness in the run game even without that. I do think that Rashawn Gary has been an underwhelming player. Guys like Devontae Wyatt got injured as well, defensive tackle. So you can run on them. And maybe in some other matchups that might not matter as much, but the Bears have legitimately a top three run game in the entire NFL. I would consider the Rams, the Bills, and the Bears probably the top three run games. That's eye test and statistically. They're third in DVOA in rushing. They're second in running back rushing success rate. They're seventh in explosive runs on designed runs. And the passing game is explosive, and it's getting a little bit more efficient as well. Full season, it's about middle of the pack. But I would say if you just look at the back half of the season, it's more above average to good as far as efficiency. Caleb Williams doesn't turn the ball over as well. I would say I really trust both of these offenses way more than the defenses. The Packers last year were much more opportunistic with turnovers. This year, that's been more of the Bears. But the Bears are also leaky in their run attack as well, or run defense, I should say, as well. But the Packers' run game is more average. So actually, if you asked me a couple weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I would say the Packers were more contender. And now I'm looking at them more as like, wow, they might be one and done against the Bears. I am leaning more Bears in this game. Even if I don't trust their defense, I do trust more aspects of their offense. I really like Jordan Love much more, maybe I think, than the national consensus on him is. I do think that he was a valid MVP candidate until he got injured. But yes, he's explosive and the run game's fine enough, but I overall trust maybe what the Bears have just a little bit more, because I do think the Packers run defense, which ranks bottom five in the second half of the season, is something that could be picked at throughout this game.
That's the truth. Nate Tice with us. How about 49ers and Philadelphia Eagles? You talk about line movement at Green Bay Chicago game. This is up from 3.5 to 4.5. Philly favored, total of 44.5, 45. How about Brock Purdy and the Niners? What do you think they get done here against this Eagles defense? The San Francisco offense, Nate, got completely shut down by Seattle on Saturday night.
Yeah, the Seahawks defense, probably the number one defense, maybe number two, and maybe number three. But either way, to me, it's the Seahawks defense, the Texans defense, and the Eagles defense. Those are the three legit elite defenses in this playoffs. And maybe the Chargers, maybe the next step after that. But this defense has been playing fantastic the second half of the year. It's been playing in every metric you look at, like a top two, top three defense. They can rush a passer decently enough. They stop the run decently enough, and that they're really good in pass coverage. The 49ers run offense has been better in the second half of the year, more top 10-ish. In the first half of the year, they're bottom 10, but much more, you know, they're living and dying by the passing game. But I think this Eagles defense that doesn't blitz a ton, they can just play coverage under Vic Fangio. They match up really well against the 49ers. These are the offenses that he does well against: Shanahan, Kubiak, zone-based offenses. I also think that I'm not a big fan of the Eagles offense. I don't think anybody is happy with the Philadelphia Eagles offense as ever watched them this entire season. But against this 49ers defense, it doesn't concern me that much. The 49ers defense doesn't get a lot of pressure. They've been susceptible to big plays. They've been susceptible onto the ground. They just lost another linebacker. So that's already been a weakness about how they play. They don't blitz a ton, which is what can rattle Jalen Hurts. They just don't play the way, unless they do a total kitchen sink type of game, to, you know, kind of take the Eagles offense out of their element. So I am siding with the Eagles in this game, even though the 49ers offense is explosive and fun to watch under Shanahan. I do think the Eagles defense could kind of make them more of a neutral side matchup.
Nate, dealer's choice. We got about a minute left of the other four games on wildcard weekend. Which one intrigues you the most?
I mean, just as a neutral fan, the Jaguars-Bills game, but I'm not touching that one with the 10-foot pole, because I just the betting on what's going to happen, whether the Bills run defense can do anything. That's a lie. I would say Jaguars, but I would say the 10.5-point spread for the Rams should not scare anybody. They are either the best team, the second best team, or the third best team offensively, defensively. When they played a few weeks ago, yes, they lost, but they almost had a 70% success rate in that game. They just had two turnovers that were stupid in scoring range. They did not get stopped throughout that game. And that Panthers offense has dropped off a cliff. Their run game is one of the worst in the league in the past second half of the year. And Bryce Young isn't really dangerous throwing the ball. So I don't think that 10.5-point spread should scare anybody, especially on the road.
At @Nate_Tice, Yahoo Sports does some work with NFL Network as well. Nate, always appreciate it, man. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
There he is, Nate Tice, giving us the latest. Matt, you're sitting down. Thank goodness. Michigan's winning.
I think Michigan's on, 12-2 run, something like that. Anyway, Wolverines up 19-14. Not a shock.
We'll update you on what's going on with the Wolverines and also Louisville on quite the run against the Duke Blue Devils. It's VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime. Thanks to Nate Tice for jumping on and giving us his insight for wildcard weekend, as well as some of the coaching movement. Also, believes that Fernando Mendoza, pretty clear number one quarterback. We'll play a clip from Todd McShay later on in the show, who would be a little bit against that opinion. And we are not too far away, Matt, from getting into NFL draft discussion.
Well, we could talk a little bit about it right now, because the draft numbers are up at DraftKings. Fernando Mendoza -500 to be the number one overall pick. -500? I think that's too high.
Yeah. I mean, look, he could ultimately go one, but they're going to spend 3 months examining him and Dante Moore, and all it takes is one front office. And by the way, we don't even know who that front office is going to be, right? Who's that coach going to be that comes into?
Well, we know who the front office is going to be.
It's going to be Tom Brady.
Tom Brady and John Spytek of the Raiders. I don't think the coach is going to have a great say in that, but sounds like Spytek and Brady are going to pick the coach and the quarterback. So that's the direction the Raiders are headed. Mendoza minus 500. Dante Moore, the Oregon quarterback, plus 425. It's interesting. Those are the top two candidates to be the number one overall pick, and I mentioned this to you. When Oregon and Indiana played in October, if you go back and watch that tape, you're not going to be very impressed with either quarterback. Dante Moore threw two picks in that game. Mendoza threw a pick six. Those quarterbacks actually struggled against those defenses in that game, which is going to be interesting, Tim, when we look at these teams play Friday night. I don't think that's going to be a high-scoring game.
I do not either.
When I say a high, I mean well into the 50s. I think right around 51 would be the highest scoring game, like 27-24 type of game.
Yeah, we got to calm down on the 51 points. Come on now.
What do you have?
Under 47.5. Yeah. We did see a little bit of extra, a little over money come back into the market, 46.5 up to 47 here at Circa regarding the Friday night game between Oregon and Indiana. By the way, Matt and I broke these games down on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, gave out some best bets on both sides as well, Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, and Indiana. Let's update folks real quickly, as we do all the time, Matt, here on the program, as we look at some live numbers. I think you could have thought that Matt was joking, but I don't think he was.
What?
Michigan was, once upon a time, down at the under 16 media timeout to Penn State. The live number was 17.5, and you said, might be a good spot to buy Michigan. Well, that live number is now up to 22.5. It's 24-17 for the second-ranked Michigan Wolverines. Quick question on Michigan. They are one of six undefeated teams in college basketball. Arizona also undefeated. How far do you have Arizona and Michigan apart in your power ratings?
I've got Michigan 3.5 points better than Arizona.
Ooh, man.
I think Wes Reynolds on here last night said, did he say 4.5? He's got Michigan 4.5 better. I think, but it's kind of a joke right now, because isn't Arizona number one in the AP poll and Michigan's number two? Michigan obviously should be number one.
I mean, Michigan's beaten three top 25 teams by 30-plus points.
How many respectable teams do you have to beat by 30 points?
They beat Gonzaga on a neutral by 40.
I know.
Where's Gonzaga? Gonzaga right now is fifth in KenPom, and they beat them by 40 on a neutral, Matt.
Michigan right now up 7, 24-17. That was an opportunity to buy low there on Michigan. 17-point favorite in the game. Now it's up to 21.5. I think right after we talked about that, the Wolverines went on an 11-0 run, and I'm just not sure. You know, over 40 minutes, Penn State doesn't have the horses to run with Michigan. And this front line for the Wolverines is going to be tough for everyone to deal with. Even the teams with the best front lines in college basketball going to have a really hard time with Michigan. The size, the athletic ability, and Wolverines now up 24-19.
We have another undefeated team in action right now, and you might not know it. The Miami, Ohio Redhawks, coached by Travis Steele, the former Xavier coach, and they are 15.5-point favorites tonight against Western Michigan, and as of last check, a 5-point lead. But they are one of the six unbeaten teams in college basketball. How about this score, Matt? LSU, you know, they're busy trying to figure out the portal and who's going to be their offensive coordinator. Their basketball team went off as a 9-point favorite today. They are absolutely getting obliterated right now by South Carolina. How about this score down in the bayou?
37-14.
37-14 with 6:21 to go in the first half. LSU, not the best start to this contest. 6 of 21 from the field, yeah. And South Carolina off to a 7 for 10 start from three. Maybe this is a spot to buy LSU.
It would be, but I'm not watching the game, so I can't say that. If I'm not watching the game, I'm not going to recommend somebody else bet something. I'm not saying we don't know what the exact circumstances.
40-14
As you say
right
that,
now.
South Carolina hits a three to go up 40-14. If I'm not watching the game, I don't want to recommend the live bet to anyone because some people are going to follow what you say and say, if it loses, you said the live bet that.
Well, we put it on here on one of the screens as LSU, as we watch that South Carolina three go home 40-14 right now, under 6 minutes to go. Did want to pass across another score. And how high amongst the disappointing teams is St. John's for you this year?
Right near the top of the list. Kentucky and St. John's at the top of the list of the most disappointing teams. And Rick Pitino, you know, some arrogance over the offseason said, I don't need a point guard. Point guard position doesn't matter anymore. That position doesn't exist. Well, and then he gets into the season, he starts losing, and he says, I don't have a point guard. That's why this team's underachieving. And so Pitino contradicting himself, and it's obvious that St. John's needs a new true point guard, and Pitino has now admitted as much. I don't know why he said over the summer the point guard position doesn't matter anymore. That position doesn't. It's just it's an odd thing for him to say. I disagreed with him at the time. And obviously, that's a big reason this team is underachieving. Butler, which is off a blowout loss, is up right now 31-27 on St. John's, late in the first half at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis.
Yep. 9-5 St. John's, 10-5 Butler. A Butler team who lost at home to Boise State.
Also got blown out by Creighton, I believe, right?
Yeah, over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
Still to come tonight, Matt, we still have some pretty big games on the hoops docket. Let's start top of the hour. You mentioned you have a money line parlay with Houston in Iowa. Let's circle back to that. Texas Tech and Houston is our VSiN primetime game of the night. Some steam coming in on the Cougars. They're up to an 8.5-point favorite at DraftKings, 8 here at Circa. You paired Houston with Iowa earlier today on a money line parlay, Iowa on the road at Minnesota.
I like this Iowa team quite a bit. And Ben McCollum, the coach who got hired from Drake, has turned this. We alluded to this last night with Wes Reynolds. I said there were going to be two potential surprise teams in the Big Ten before the season. One was Iowa, one was Indiana. I don't think Indiana's quite lived up to that, but Iowa certainly has. And the Hawkeyes off a win over UCLA. Ben McCollum is one of those coaches, Tim, he just plays a slow tempo, and he forces opponents to play his style of game. He did it when he was, where McCollum coach, I think,
Northwest Missouri State. Yeah.
Northwest Missouri State, he won 4 Division II national championships. He goes to Drake for 1 year, wins 31 games at Drake last year, and now just, you know, he brings his point guard, Bennett Sturts, and that's the key. You know, that's, again, Rick Pitino says the point guard doesn't matter. If you watch Bennett Sturts, if you watch Braden Smith, do you think a point guard doesn't matter?
I think Purdue enjoys Braden Smith.
I think Iowa loves Bennett Sturts, right?
Yeah.
And there are so many good point guards in college basketball. St. John's doesn't have one. Iowa does, and that's why when the Hawkeyes go on the road, I'm not afraid to play them here. There's a lot of teams I don't want to bet on the road, but this is such a well-coached team with a veteran point guard. I think the Hawkeyes are going to win a lot of games in the Big Ten this season. And as far as the Houston-Texas Tech game tonight, the only team to beat Duke so far is Texas Tech. Overcame that huge deficit at the Garden to stun the Blue Devils in that game a couple weeks ago on a Saturday night.
For now.
Well, Louisville's about threatening to pull it off tonight. How about this? Louisville's got 39 points with 4.5 minutes to go in the first half. Duke's not defending tonight. But Texas Tech, that was kind of a fluke comeback from the big deficit. That was a shorthanded Tech team as well. And when I watched that second half that night, that's when I started to think, you know, I think this Duke team is being overhyped right now. And it's probably going to be overrated in the betting market, which is a key thing. And probably should have bet against Duke tonight, but I didn't do it. Houston, off of kind of a poor offensive showing over the weekend. I think the Cougars, right now, I'll give you some defensive numbers on Houston. You know they're always going to be top 10 in defense, if not top 3 in defense. Houston's going to control the pace in this game tonight. It's going to be that prototypical rock fight.
Ryan Conwell for Louisville, leading all scorers with 16 points. You might remember him from that great Indiana State team 2 years ago. Louisville up 12 on Duke with 4 minutes to go in the first half.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Tuesday evening, heavy night of college hoops, as Louisville looking to hand Duke their second loss of the season. Right now, Louisville, who went off as a pick'em here at Circa, 10-point lead for the Cardinals over Duke, 3:45 to go in that one. The number two team in the country, Matt, Michigan, now a 10-point lead over Penn State with a minute 40 to go.
That didn't take long.
No, it did not.
Michigan was down, what, 5, maybe 7 at the most, now up 10, late first half. That was the time to buy in on the Wolverines, right?
17.5 was the number at the under 16 media timeout.
Now it's 20.5. It's still not bad, 20.5. Close 24. 37-27. I know one thing. I'm not betting against Michigan for a while. This team is so hot right now, you got to be a fool to step in front of this train. When you see the Wolverines start to cool off, then I think you can do it. But right now, I mean, if you're trying to bet against this team, trying to pick the spot where Michigan's going to be a little bit off, good luck. You might lose 5-6 bets in a row trying to pick that spot.
Look at their KenPom sheet. It's absurd. Fifth best defense, adjusted defense, or excuse me, top defense, I beg your pardon. Fifth best offense. They're number 5 in the country in tempo. They get up and down. They have the number 1 effective field goal percentage in offense and number 1 effective field goal in defense. They are incredible inside the arc, 65.6% from the field. This is a team that pretty much scores 100 on a nightly basis. Here, since they came to Vegas, 102 against Auburn, 101 against Gonzaga, 101 against Rutgers, 89 against Villanova. Don't worry, they still won that game by 28 and covered. 101 on the road at Maryland, 102 against LaSalle, 112 against McNeese, who's a pretty good G5 program, group of five program, and then 96 against USC. It's unreal.
Well, it is, and that's why it's tough to bet against a team like that. Really well coached by Dusty May, and I think that entire coaching staff's doing a hell of a job with this team. I mentioned last year, I don't know if you recall, I said, if Axel Luxembourg from Michigan goes into the draft, I think he should be a lottery pick. I think he should be a top 10 pick, and he did not. He stayed in school. Obviously, you make pretty good money staying in school right now. That's why college basketball is so strong. A lot of these guys can stay in school and maybe make more money playing college basketball. And he's going to be a top 10 pick after this season. This Michigan team on the front line's got so much size. Look at that. Penn State trying to drive to the hole, blocked. So much size and athletic ability. Very few teams are going to be able to match up or beat the Wolverines.
One of the 6 unbeatens left in college basketball. The other one in action tonight, Miami, Ohio. And they're taking on Western Michigan. So that is the one that might surprise you a little bit. Nebraska, we watched them last night. They got that victory over Ohio State on the road, 72-69. Tomorrow night, Matt, Vanderbilt, another one of the undefeated teams. We'll talk about that game a little bit later on in the show. Vandy has Alabama, which should be a very entertaining game to see Vanderbilt take that undefeated record up against Alabama. Right now, Vandy, a 4.5-point favorite at home with a total of 178.5.
Mentioned this a couple weeks ago. If you hadn't bet Vandy in the futures, there was a chance to get a big number, a long shot number on the Commodores. That's another really well-coached team that's
Mark
under
Byington.
The radar. Yep. I don't have a future on Vandy. I definitely considered playing one, and the number moved. I felt like it was a little bit too late. I should have pulled the trigger sooner. Talking about Butler St. John's, right now the game tied at 38, about 2 minutes ago in the first half. Butler actually was blown out by Villanova over the weekend. Before that, a 4-point loss to Creighton. But how about Villanova? Kevin Willard doing a pretty nice job there. I know he's not one of your favorite coaches.
I don't care. I'm not a Maryland fan. You keep thinking I'm a Maryland fan. I could give two craps that he left Maryland.
A lot of people were upset by the way he left Maryland.
I know.
Thought you were upset because your friend SVP was upset.
I wish SVP was my buddy. I like him. I've had him on the show before, but I wouldn't say we are friends.
Okay.
A little trivia. James Madison had Mark Byington and Kirk Cignetti on campus at the same time. He was the men's basketball coach there at JMU, led him to a win in the 2024 NCAA tournament. And, of course, Kirk Cignetti was there before heading to Indiana. We'll get into college football quite a bit. We'll talk some John Harbaugh, firing later on in the show. Glenn Clark from Baltimore will join the program.
How about this? How about this quote that's circulating on social media? John Harbaugh said this in 2018. You ready?
Okay.
Quote, "All of our family on my mom's side is from Cleveland. All of my family on my dad's side is Browns fans. We all grew up Browns fans." Does that give Browns fans hope that they might get John Harbaugh?
Matt, what do we say about hope on this program?
I don't know.
It's nothing worse than it, right? That's your very uplifting line.
My other quote would be, there's nothing worse than being a Browns fan.
Not as catchy. Huh? Not as catchy. We'll have to work on that one, tweak it a little bit. Yes. If you're the Browns, this would give you incredible hope, you would think, if he decides to head there. But that we'll see what John Harbaugh decides to do. Not a spring chicken, by the way. Just 63 years old.
Yeah, he looks young. Stays in good shape. Looks young. A lot of energy. Just like his brother Jim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? This Duke team, I don't think Duke is going to win this game at Louisville tonight. And I'm saying that while Duke's down 8, but we know an 8-point lead can disappear in basketball in no time at all. I don't like the way Duke's playing this game tonight. I just watched Duke grab 3 offensive rebounds, miss 5 straight 3-pointers. They're not attacking the rim like they should be. They're just jacking up threes and not shooting well. And I think if Louisville plays smart basketball in the second half, Cardinals are going to win this game. 43-35, final minute in the first half.
Earlier tonight, we had Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports, who I think does a exceptional job when it comes to the NFL draft, evaluating players. And you asked him, is Fernando Mendoza your number one quarterback? And he said, absolutely. Now, he said, we'll see what happens with Dante Moore. I would be surprised if Dante Moore stayed in another year. That would be quite the payday Oregon would have to do to in order to keep him there. Todd McShay, another guy that I respect his opinion when it comes to evaluation of players. He had his thoughts on his podcast regarding who should be the number one quarterback selected.
Would you or would you not, as the representation or the representative, the rep for Dante Moore, kind of reach out to the Raiders and say, hey, my client's trying to make a decision. Give me, we can live with going to 30 of the 32 teams. Maybe it's 31. I can't allow him to go to the New York Jets. And I realize in 2027, maybe he's the 7th pick or the 5th pick, or, you know, or maybe he's the 1st overall pick and the Jets have all that ammo and they can get him there. But I can't allow him to just, he's got an opportunity to go back to Oregon, probably make the same amount of money that he's going to make in his rookie contract. Phil Knight will make that happen. So I can allow my client to go back to Oregon and have another season with a new offensive coordinator because Will Stein's going to Kentucky, or you can pretty much promise me that he's going to be the number one overall pick. Is that so far-fetched? Because I know
it's not, but we're
not listening. One single player in this entire draft, unless they grew up a Jets fan or have some kind of family tie, wants to be a New York Jet.
Yeah, I would say that it depends on what the Jets do. If they fired Aaron Glenn and hired John Harbaugh, he'd be okay with going to the Jets if you're Dante Moore. If they're going to keep Aaron Glenn, there's no way in hell you want to go to the Jets. They can ruin quarterbacks in no time. I think it's pretty obvious right now that Dante Moore needs to stay in school because you can make good money as a college quarterback. You and I were talking during the break about what quarterbacks are getting now in college football. Brendan Sorsby just got $5 million. How much did Anthony Calandra get to go from UNLV to Nebraska?
$2 million.
So Dante Moore could definitely stay in school one more year. I don't even want to call it school anymore because it's not really like college anymore. Semi-pro. What is it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, at this point, I mean, look, you look at what Texas Tech did today. They added 2 defensive linemen. I'm sure they spent probably $5, $6 million total. To get those 2 defensive linemen, thought to be 2 of the best in this portal class, the edge rusher from Miami, Ohio, and the defensive tackle from Wake Forest, Matt. So, yeah, if you're Dante Moore, I mean, Uncle Phil, I'm sure, would pony up. He'd pay $10, $12 million, give you a Nike endorsement.
If you're afraid of going to the Jets, you don't have to go out in this draft with the Jets having the number 2 pick. The problem is they could have the number 1 or 2 pick again next year.
Sure.
But I think that what Todd McShay is saying makes some sense. You don't want to go to a hopeless situation like that with a poor coaching staff that could wreck your career.
Now, here's a question we can ponder as the show goes on. if Oregon beats Indiana.
Oh, he could be the number one
pick. Could he be the number one pick and come to Las Vegas?
We'll talk about that later in the show. But again, I mentioned that last night. This game could be for the number one pick. Let's say Dante Moore really outplays Fernando Mendoza in this game. Those odds are going to shift, right?
Oh, absolutely. Minus $5 right now is the favorite role for Fernando Mendoza. Profit X, folks, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football national championship and Super Bowl odds. They've got a huge holiday sale, 20% purchase match. Download Profit X today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started.